From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
You know, I was thinking that we're very, very special people. Yeah. Because what you come here to hear, it doesn't happen normally out there. This gathering is a very unique gathering. Because your contemporaries, they've gone home. They've eaten, they are probably watching TV now. The people you work with, you when you go to work tomorrow, ask them, between the time they close from work and they got up in the morning, what were they doing? You realize that as you come, the Wednesdays, the Sundays, you are even being made more different. You see, Jesus spoke to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, and he said that the world doesn't know him. But he said, but you know him. There's a difference. It's when we go out there, after service, when we go out there, even in your house, you're very, very different from the person you live with. Very different from your husband who doesn't go to church. Very different from your wife who doesn't go to church. Very different from your child father who doesn't go to church. Your child mother, because all of them are recognizable, isn't it? All these people in our lives who we know, you wouldn't see from the outside. But what you're hearing, what you're experiencing, I mean, singing the songs, it's a different life. I don't know if you recognize what I'm talking about. Yeah. So you must be very, very, very motivated. Very, very, very motivated about what you're doing. And you should advise others to do likewise. It's one of the best things to do with your life. I said, it's one of the best things to do with your life. Yeah. If you don't understand it, it's very difficult to do it. Do you get it? You look at it this way. The time you walk in here is probably an indication of your excitement about the Lord. Should I say it again? The time you come here is a sign of what God is to you. Cry. Yeah, you can write it down. Cry. Yeah. And you have to hear it. I mean, if you say you love me, and I say, okay, let's meet at 10 o'clock. You come at 10:30. I won't take you serious. I won't take you serious.
You're right.
I won't take you serious. You love me? I said, come by me. They say, you could come tomorrow instead of today? What do you mean?
It's not,
look, somebody says it's not even genuine. I mean, it's like, bam. So I'm saying that the time you arrive here is a sign of your excitement about God and your Christian life. You can challenge me and I'll prove it to you. if you challenge me, let's see. Huh? Yeah. How many agree with what I'm saying? Everybody agrees. Oh, really? Are you sure? Oh, but the way you, the time you come here, it doesn't prove that you agree. The drag, the slowness. It's like somebody's rather pushing you to this thing here, forcing you. It's a lack of what you must have in your heart for God. Yeah. It's through talk I stack. Yeah. It is rather your workplace that you should be in a hurry to leave. When it's 4 o'clock, you tell Basman, it's 4 o'clock, I'm going. 3, from 3 o'clock, you are marking time, say, hey, 1 hour more. Not a church. Yeah. I mean, I when it comes to God, I'm very, very different. I can come, you know, I can come at this time. I don't have to be here for all the things you did. Praise and worship, dance, that. It doesn't do anything for me. I can just come straight and come straight. I've been to a church before. In 2005, when I was waiting to start the church, I went to a church that used to meet at Ocean View then. And because I was going around to see how Guyanese, how they do church, how. So every Sunday I'll pick a church. I'll ask, what's the church? What's the biggest church? What's the church? And someone said, oh, this. I said, okay, Sunday. So I went to Eccles Assembly. I went to Love and Faith. I went to Central Assembly. I went to Beacon Ministries. I went to a few churches. And I went to this particular church. And I was there. I think one of the stamp pastors was leading the service. And all of a sudden, I saw everybody get up. The pastor didn't say, everybody stand up. So I was a little confused because everybody stood up. So I was slow to get up because nobody said get up. I mean, when they say, if you're a good Christian, when the pastor says up, you up. Sit down. When you go to a Catholic church, you go on your knees. Yeah, you go and then you come up. You do that about 10 times. If you have arthritis, you can't go to the Catholic church. Those of you say you are sitting there because your leg is hurting. You can't be in a Catholic church. Nobody sits down when you're supposed to go on your knees. The atmosphere alone will not make you do that. So I stood up. Lo and behold, a big man, striped suit, clean. Somebody was holding his briefcase in front of him. Yeah. Walked from the back. Entered the church from the back, came straight to the pulpit. Yeah. I said, that's the man. Cry, totally. I mean, you know that he's the man when he walks into the church. Everybody gets up. Yeah. Without an introduction, he just came from outside. I mean, if I drive in, you know that I've come. When he drove in, because of the way the place is, you won't even know that he has come. And he walked into the church from behind. Everybody stood up. I thought, what's happening here? Only to see this man. I said, wow. I want to be like that when I grow up. Came straight to the pulpit, took the microphone and started doing his thing. Oh, the praise and worship. I don't need to come. But once it's Wednesday, once it's meeting day, somehow, something. After 30 years, I got saved in 1989, not yesterday. I got born again in 1989. It's 30 years. I still love the Lord, and I'm still excited about coming into his house. You got saved the other day, just 2 years later. We can't even see what you have for God. Hey, you're mobile. 30 years I've been with the Lord, and I'm still very excited and enthusiastic about God. I'm very excited about the cathedral. Today, I went to Freedom Hope. I went to Freedom Hope to see GPL. And I parked around Starbrook, so I walked, took the boat and crossed. Sometimes I like doing that. crossed the boat, went to GBN, and I came back. And I, as I was at the Sterling, I had a very good feeling. Because I saw people. I said, hey, if I come here every day for 1 month, 9 to 4 at the Sterling with flyers, tell me if my church won't work. You tell me if my church won't work. Shawin, you tell me if I can't get a mega church over the river. 9 to 5 every day at the Sterling, Freedom Hoop. Go and see how many people pass through there. I just don't have time. I just don't want to. I had a very very nice feeling came upon me. I said, hey, that cathedral, my God. We will start church afresh. 9 to 5. We're there doing outreach. Not this 30 minutes, go around, check. You coming? You there home? You are joking. Yeah. Are you with me? So that's just an introduction. Yeah, it's a very special, this is a very special meeting. There's no meeting like this. If there's any meeting like this somewhere, they are talking about politics and elections. Coming elections. To sit and talk about the Bible, oh, it's different. Tonight, time is far spent. I really don't want to overlay it. I don't know whether it's good English or it's Creolese, but I don't want to use Creolese, right? I don't want to. Sometimes I don't even know whether it's real English I'm speaking or it's Creolese. Sometimes when I'm typing, did you write CXE? You don't say write CXE, right? That's not English. But that's what I type. That's what is in my head now. I've forgotten what's the right way to say it. You sit for an exam, isn't it? You don't write an exam. Did you write CXE? Yes, it's not something you write. You write a letter. You don't write CXE. You write common entrance. You don't write common entrance. You sit for common entrance. It's Creolese, right? Yeah. Today I was confused. I said, am I doing the right thing? But hey, who cares? It's when I travel that people say, oh, yeah, your accent has changed. I realize my English has become bad. Over here, people understand it when I say it like that. Yeah. So I don't want to overlay it. You get it? You understand what I mean, right? Yeah, so time is fine. So let's just get into the word. Tonight, your faith is your life. Chapter 7 of the book, Faith Secrets. Your faith is your life. Listen. Listen, you need deliverance. Though. Habakkuk chapter 2. Thomas, you're welcome to life. It's good to see you. Nice. You saw your sisters dancing. Isn't that exciting? Nice. But are you the big brother, right? Wow, nice. Okay. So, faith, thank you. Faith, your faith is your life. Your faith is your life. Isn't it? So tonight, that's what I'm talking about. It's very special that your faith is your life. Your life is your faith, and your faith is your life. So whatever your life is a reflection of your faith. Are you there? So if you find yourself in a lion's den, if the government issues an order and says no church, whether you go to church or not, it's your life. It's your faith. It's what you believe. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, are you there? And so again, like I probably started by saying, your coming early is not a taxi driver. The fact that you came late even means that you probably even didn't bother calling anybody or going to bring anybody. That's fine. Are you there? Everything you are doing now is a reflection of what you believe, your faith. Like, I don't do any business. I don't have any side job. I don't have anything else that gives me money. I'm just paid by the church, and that's all. Yeah. I don't have a taxi that runs for me. It's a sign of my faith. Because I believe that I don't need a taxi to live. Whereas somebody will be a pastor and will have a taxi and have a bus on the side. He will even drive the bus sometimes himself. The difference is faith. The Bible says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by, not somebody's faith, by his faith. Your personal faith. That's why it's so important that you have a good amount of faith in this life. Because I don't think that having a taxi on the side is the secret to my blessing. I don't believe that. You have a taxi and that's what you believe. And then you see that the taxi driver will run your car down. He'll bring problems. He will not bring your money. When you're looking for your car, you can't find your car. When your car comes, the tire is burst. The engine is not working. We will see who has faith. Because your faith is your works. He says, show me your works and I'll show you your faith. Yeah. The just shall live by his faith. You live by your faith. So the Bible says that even Abel, his sacrifice, it was because of his faith. Cain also sacrificed because of his faith. You are here tonight because of your faith. Yeah. You are going to be here next time we are meeting because of your faith. Because you could have had an excuse. How many could have gone home and not come to church? You could have had an excuse. I mean, there's so many excuses. Your faith. So the faith you have is also how far you even go in life. Yeah. The just shall live by his faith. Do you have faith? That's how you're going to live. If you're going to be successful in this life, it's going to be because of your faith. So, Charlie, you need faith, though. Faith is something, if you have more of it, it's better. You're not greedy. You can't be greedy. If there's something I would advise you to have in this life, it won't be money. I would tell you to have faith. And more of it. Yeah. The woman who was bleeding for 12 years, her life changed. Not because she had money. It's because of what she had, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is what changed her life. So if you see somebody who was smelling and is not smelling anymore, you see somebody like that, the transformation and the metamorphosis is not because of God, but it's because of the person and what they have and what they believe. So your life and how your life turns out, it's not going to be anybody's fault but yours. You are responsible for how far or how low you fall or you go in this life. It's you. And it's your faith. Yeah. If you look at our prophet, he left all the older people and the churches, and then went to be with students. That was his faith. You know, he said he had a quiet time in Revelation chapter 2. The Bible says that you have forgotten or you've forsaken your first love. So then he sat down and he said, what is God telling me? We read the Bible all the time. I've read Revelation several times.
So he said, what is my first love that God says I have forgotten? Then he began to look back what he used to do when he gave his life to Christ. Then he realized that when he gave his life to Christ, he used to be preaching on the university campus. He used to be visiting people. He was not a pastor. He was just a brother who was just interested in people becoming strong Christians. So then he said, okay, I'm going back to the university to start a church. That was all. That's all. That's the effect of what we see today. No tender, no lightning, no vision, no dreams. Just one morning quiet time in the book of Revelation that all of us have. But he exercised something different in that scripture than you and I have exercised so far. So his life and his level is not because God is biased. Never say God is biased. I said never say God is biased, because the man who was by the pool of Siloam 38 years can never say that God is biased. When the angels come and they stir up the water, you are there. Somehow you can't find yourself in the water. And you say you want to be healed. Every year, 38 years. Even if he was rolling. Even a snail or tortoise, after 38 years, from where Jesus found this guy, we eventually would have been in the pool and would have been healed. His condition and his situation was because of the evidence of things not seen. Because your faith moves you. Your faith drives you. Yes. I was talking to the Catholic priest, St. Pius, the priest there. This is Marilyn, lost her auntie. They went to the funeral. And after when everybody left, I said, you know what? Hey, I want to talk to the priest. Let them galang. I want to talk to the priest. So I stayed behind, and a priest came. As we were talking to the priest, the older woman who cleaned the church, they were locking the windows and locking the doors and turning off the light. I said, people are disrespectful. The priest is in a church talking to people. You don't even know. They want to go. They finish the funeral. Let me go home. I came to open up for this funeral to be. I'm going. The priest is in the church talking to us. The women, they are closing the windows, turning off the light. Hey! I mean, those who were with me, they looked at me and then we all smiled at each other. I said, it's too powerful. Yeah. So the cleaner has more power than the priest. Yeah. When joined, the priest is very knowledgeable. He's very wise. Hey, he knows the scriptures. And he was talking about how these guys who took somebody's roof, somebody's zinc sheet, and took the roof and dropped this dead body in front of Jesus in this house. He said he was wondering, what would the owner of the house do? And that's how you get revelation about scripture. When you are able to just bring the thing into a normal realm. Oh, and then some people are looking for Jesus and they took the roof and they, no, you sit down and say, if it was your house and Jesus is in the house, they hear some people climbing your roof. I'm sure you tell people, please, whoever is going, Jesus is here. We don't want any noise. The people climbed the house. They took off somebody's zinc sheet. You see what we do to the boys when their ball football goes up here and they come. And it wasn't only the roof, they took off the ceiling, only to realize that somebody was dead. And the person, they needed Jesus to pray for the person. So they dropped the dead body right in front of Jesus in the house. It's faith. Who even told you that the guy will be brought back to life? It's because of what they believed. Your faith moves you. That's what I'm saying, that your life, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are successful, whether you are fruitful, whatever your life is because of your belief. Your faith is equal to your life. If you see somebody's life, it is because of what they believe. Once upon a time, there was a couple in our church. They had some marital problems. And, you know, me and my pastoral hat, I went inside a problem, which at the end of the day, I was blamed for destroying the marriage, which is fine, because what don't we destroy? We destroy everything also. Jesus said he didn't come in peace. So why do I want to bring peace? But one of the things that the wife was complaining about was that they were building on the East Bank, and the house was 80% complete. All they needed was fence and water supply. And I think they had to paint. And the wife was saying, I want to move in. Because I'm staying downstairs of my parents-in-law. They are up. Myself and my husband will live downstairs. My husband has a brother who is also married. So we are sharing a two-bedroom apartment with one kitchen and one living room. And we have been able to build this house to this level where all we need is a fence and water supply. As for the water supply, I know somebody at Guyana Water. I can get the water today. I want to move into the house. The husband said, no, never. He says he had a vision that the house was fully completed before he moved in. So unless and until the house is fully completed, finished, fence wall, everything and painted, he's not moving anywhere.
That was one of the problems.
His life is as a result of what he believed in. Whereas the girl, the wife, wanted to move in because it's like, we have struggled. We have something. We can go. We can move in. We don't need a fence. I understand water is important, but the fence, the fence will come. The guy said he does not believe in moving into a house that is not fully complete. Your life is your faith. Yeah. At the end of the day, the marriage didn't work. The guy took his time, finished his house and everything, and then he took another woman there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, cry. And I had a couple also in the church. They believed in paying tithe together as a couple. So when I say tithe, then the two of them will come forward. They hold one tithe card. And then they go on their knees together. And they pay tithe. Wow. Hey, your life is your faith. The two became one. So the blessings are also one, not two. I prefer two blessings. That will show that it will be enough for us. Rather than one blessing. You want to pay one tithe and get one blessing? Or you pay two tithes and two blessings? Which one is nicer? Two tithes and two blessings. It's wiser. Bible says two are better than one, because when they work, they have a good reward for their labor. So why should I pay one tithe and get one blessing? When we are two, we can pay two tithes and two blessings. Yeah, huh? But it's your faith. Some people believe that Sunday service only is what I will do. That is their faith. Sometimes you can't, no matter who you are, a pastor, you can't. Well, me. You can't change people and what they believe sometimes. Yeah. But the highest faith is to be able. So. If that takes you to a higher level, praise God. But if it doesn't take you to a higher level, then it means that you need to adjust your faith. Yeah, you have to check yourself. If If you wake up in the morning to pray, it's not because somebody told you to pray. It's because of your faith. It's what you believe. You believe that every morning if I go on my knees and pray, I believe that my relationship with God becomes stronger. It's what you believe. Not necessarily what we are teaching you. We can teach you, but you can either receive it or not. Yeah. If you read your Bible every day and you make notes and you apply the word, it is because of what you believe. So when you slack, when you don't fulfill the things that God expects you to fulfill, it's because your faith is what. That's why Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith."
Consider the situation with the 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Yeah. The people were hungry. And Jesus said, "Oh, is there something we can give to them?" Then I don't know, I've forgotten the disciple, whether it was Andrew or somebody like that. "But you, Jesus, pa." It's Andrew, right? He said, "But you know how many people are here? Even if there was something to get to feed, you can't imagine that this you're going to feed these people with something that somebody has." And then somebody said, "Oh, there's a guy who has a lunch. His mother gave him lunch because the mother realized that this Jesus, if you follow him, you can easily stay long. Even those days, people used to stay in church long. How much more now? Yeah, he's a rabbi. When he starts his things, you'll be there for a long time, so make sure you have food on you." So the boy had 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread, and Jesus said, "Give it to me." I mean, according to your faith, you would think that Jesus is not thinking straight. Because, "Hey, Jesus, please. We know you are powerful, but this one is too much. This one, you are overdoing it." It's 5,000 men, excluding their wives and children. I'm sure that if even 3,000 of them were married, and in those days people were polygamous, so maybe somebody even had 3 wives. So the number of people that were fed is mysterious. Just as God is mysterious. Uh-huh. The Bible says that he broke the bread, he took the bread and the fishes, and he prayed over it. Hey, I wish I was there. And then he broke it and he gave it to him and said, "Share. Let the people sit down." As he was breaking the bread wasn't finishing. Have you seen some before? You see, if you have that faith, you'll never go hungry. You go hungry because you don't have faith. You are broke. You don't have money because of your faith. So your life is a result of the belief and the faith you have. David said, "I was young and I've grown. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never ever." I'm an older man now. "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed of the righteous begging for bread." Begging for bread. Begging for bread. Begging for bread. I have witnessed a few times at Western Unions where people rather send money abroad than receive money from abroad. Your faith will not make you call somebody and say, "Please send me $50. That's a reflection of your faith if you do that. But another faith will say, "I don't need to call anybody. I'd rather call upon the Lord my God. He is the supplier and the provider of my needs. And God will supply, he'll provide, and I believe that he is faithful." Another person will believe that. Psalm 50:50, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." Not make a call to America. It's your faith. Yes. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And 39.
Again, he said, now the just shall live by faith. Now, I don't get sick. Me who sleeps late, moving around, working hard, almost not resting, I am not sick. You who is lazy about God and about church, you are the one who gets sick. I don't get sick. No. I don't get sick. Have you seen me? Oh, Bishop couldn't come to church today because he's not feeling well. 14 years now. Have you ever? I'm not saying the 30 years. I'm not bringing the 16 other years. There's a 14 years that you have known me here. Some of you have known me for 10, 5, 2, 3, and all of that. When did you hear, Annalisa? That's your name, right? When did you hear that Bishop is not feeling well? Please, let's pray for him. Let's go visit Bishop. He didn't come to church today because he is sick. It's not in my vocabulary. It doesn't exist in my life. By the grace of God. Is it today when I was crossing to Frieden Hoop, the bridge was going to close at 2:30. And the time, I know when you go to GPL, you know how GPL stay. Yeah. So that's English or Creolese? GPL stays. Creolese, right? All right, good. I think I should just accept it. My English is gone, huh? Okay. You know, excuse me, it's gone. It's to God be the glory. We've sacrificed it, isn't it? I'm Guyanese now. Yeah. It's Creolese too. Anybody who tells me I is a foreigner, I'll beat them up. You are a foreigner. You can't hear what I'm saying. So... I was saying the GPL, if I go, as I'm going to GPL, I can easily be there if I drive. Because I was going to drive. GPL is right by the Sterling in Frieden Hoop. So I have to go all the East Bank, cross, and come back. Meanwhile, when I go to Stabroek, I just cross and I go. And it's $200 for the bridge too. So I said, and gas. I said, it's cheaper to go to economy to go to Stabroek. I said 200 can do a lot of things. But maybe somebody else will say, you know, man, oh, it's hot. I can't walk. The boat? Nah, I don't like the boat. So I'd rather hurry up and quick and catch the bridge. I just parked my car. I just walked. I like walking. You know, whenever you walk, there's at least one person who say, Pastor! At least. At the back of the fire service, lo and behold, hey, Pastor, you all right? I said, who is this from this afternoon? Where is this guy from? I don't even remember the guy's face. I said, yeah, I good. This is my speedboat, and I went my way quietly. It's a very nice life, I tell you. It's faith. Some of you are too big. You can't walk. It's your faith. Yeah, you always want taxi. Yeah, no bus. I like the bus, though, because I even miss the bus. Because I like to see how bus spirit and atmosphere is these days. So I can preach well. I want to see how the bus spirit is. Catch a 47 bus. Yeah. B-side. Yeah. And here, at least I'll hear some latest song. Because now I don't know which song is latest. I don't even know who's singing anymore. I'm sure you know because you sit in the bus all the time. Kizia, you know all them songs. She's smiling. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sometimes I want to just have a feel of it so that I can preach. Yeah, the exposure is good. For me, not for you. You want to go to Jamaica? It's faith. There's nothing like, I don't have money. Who has money? Who has money? You see, when you look at the thing, when you look at the thing, it's almost impossible. Because even your salary is not the same as the ticket. Not even close. So now, how do you think you get the money? Ah! Some substance of things hoped for must be activated. Because the one who makes impossible things possible is not your boss, man. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you look at the 5,000 that Jesus was going to feed, the two fishes and the five loaves, was impossible to take care of these people. It's not enough. I mean, it was for a little boy's lunch. The little boy too, his stomach was big. Five loaves of bread. Have you thought about it? Five loaves and two fishes. And not one tennis roll. A bag of tennis roll. And two fishes. Huh. He was a very strong boy. Yeah? The only person I've known in my life who eat one bag of tennis roll is Reverend Isan. Yeah, Reverend Isan. He used to go to work with one tennis roll bag. Not Bakewell, Graham's or Pearl. The big five for the day. Five in a bag, right? Yeah, five in a bag. That's what he eats the whole day.
Nothing less than five.
And that's how he bought his motorbike. He used to ride a scrambler. Yeah.
I know that bike.
Yeah, you know that bike. It was through tennis roll. Five bags.
Yeah.
Sometimes he doesn't even eat all. He leaves about two for the next day.
My God.
You laugh at him and say, "Wow, this man, wow. This man. He's living by his faith." So when you read Hebrews 11 and you hear what the guys did, Rahab lived by faith. That's why Rahab was spared. Everybody in Jericho perished except Rahab, because her faith is what kept her alive. Your faith, your life is your faith. Your faith is your life. Now the just shall live by faith. Galatians 2:20, I'm closing. If you drive a car, it's not because you have money. Because of your faith. Because it's because you'd never believe that you can drive a car without you probably even spending money. You don't believe that. And that's why it has not happened. Your belief is that you have to get a loan and buy, and that's how you get a vehicle. So as you are not qualifying for a loan, the car is also not coming. You see what I'm talking about? Your life is your faith is your life. Because to buy a vehicle, you need at least about 2 million. And if you go to the bank, collateral and procedure and all of that, the bank people can tell you. If you look at it, you can't, the collateral, you can't come up with it. So what does it mean? It means that you will never drive a car? No. Except that your faith has not gone beyond your means of acquiring a vehicle. Peter never thought he would walk on water. Until he believed. Faith is your life. When Daniel, the law came, nobody prays in this place. Daniel's faith said, "I will pray." With the window open, not the window closed. It makes me remember the pastor who advised me that I should seal this place and put air conditioning so that the noise doesn't go for the neighbors to put us into trouble. I said, "If only you give me the money. When you give me the money, I'll use it for something else and keep the windows open. I should close this place up and seal this place and put air condition. You see how this church is going to become dead, 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 dead.
Because it's going to be a set of people who are just coming here to just lime and chill. Yeah. No, 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 no. The place hot. It's good at the place hot. Yeah. Because if the place is comfortable, then it will attract a certain type of people. That's why our church doesn't attract a certain type of people. Because it's in, number one, it's in East La Penitence. Number two, it used to be a club. And there's no tile here. If you fall down, you can easily. This is not a place where when you are worshiping God, you can go lie down and worship God. That is what people don't have. People like things that are nice. So he said, I should close, you know. Faith, your faith is your life. So the Bible says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I don't live by depending on things around. I don't live by hoping that people or somebody will do something for me. I live by faith. And the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, is faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how we live this life. You don't have faith, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to live this life. You'll not survive. Yeah, it's faith. Yeah, it's faith. Your level, your success, what you are able to do, what you are not able to do, the things that overpower you and overcome you, the things that make you break down or stand, they are all above your faith. That's why they succeed against you. You see, we would never have heard of the fourth man. You know the fourth man? In the Bible, the fourth man. Billy Graham preached a sermon. Was it Billy Graham? Yes, Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts preached a sermon, the fourth man. We would never have heard of that if those three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have not lived their life by their faith. You think about it. When you read that account of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar organized every level of power and authority in Babylon that day and erected this huge image and said that everybody, by the sound of this whistle, by the sound of this noise, everybody should go down and worship this image. Jubilee Park is small because there were a lot of people. And the image was huge. So the sound went off. Everybody on their knees. Now there's three boys. Three small boys. They are from Jerusalem. They said the only God they know is the God of heaven. Not this thing here standing in front of them. The people say, hey, do you know what you are dealing with? They say, we don't care. We don't care. We don't. What we are dealing with, what we know what we are dealing with is the one who is above, who is the creator of everything. That's what we know we are dealing with. Anything else we don't know. The news went to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, what? Add more fire in this. Because he had already declared that anybody who would not obey, there was this fiery furnace that if you don't obey, they'll come and put you inside. So when they heard that these guys said they wouldn't, they increased the heat. And I'm sure they must have heard it by WhatsApp or something. Somebody probably took an image of the fire and said, hey, this is where you are coming, oh. Did a shot. Ah, somebody started to say, some three boys are just about to be roasted. Yeah. The guy says, these three boys from Jerusalem. They said, Ayodele, are you here? Are you sure?
These three boys said, we know about a God who we are more concerned about than this monkey God you have here. Then they organized them into the furnace. The life I now live, I live by faith. You are a slave. They've captured you, brought you to Babylon. You are living under harsh conditions. And you are going to say that you will not obey what they are telling you. We should obey and just get a little ration and little something eat. I don't want no problem. They organize them into the furnace. The Bible declares that the people who were actually organizing these guys into the furnace, the heat from the furnace actually killed them. And the three boys, they survived. They were standing in the fiery furnace. And the Bible says that instead of three people, Nebuchadnezzar and his men saw another guy. They became four people. We would never have heard of that story if these guys didn't stand and live by faith. Yeah. No, let's be serious. If you see fire, everybody knows fire. When you see fire, that is a little overbearing. You hear, wee woo, wee woo, wee woo. Fire service is coming. So to just consciously allow yourself to be taken. You see, when you see the fire, your mind should tell you that, bye, rest yourself, okay? Let me stop playing. This thing is no joke. But their faith is what they lived with. So they knew that even in the fire, they could feel air conditioning in the fire. That was their faith. I tell you, the life that I now live. And that's what happened. That's what happened. They were thrown. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hey, your faith is your life. I tell you. And your faith is what will bring God down into every need that you have. I tell you, somebody, God is challenging you to cause your faith to rise tonight. Because that which you need and that which you desire will not come by your mind nor by your power, but it will come by your faith. The life I now live, I live by faith in a Son of God who loved me. Gave himself for me. Stand to your feet, please. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Your faith is your life. Yeah. Don't blame anybody. It's your faith. Yeah. It's your faith. Amen. Let's pray. Lift up your hands. Father, tonight. Oh, we need faith. No faith, small faith, little faith. Increase our faith by this word that we have heard. Our lives are a reflection of what we believe and how strong we believe what we believe. I pray that we will live extraordinary lives, adventurous lives, because of the faith we have in you. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. We are strengthened. We are going back refreshed and renewed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I mean, you're here tonight, you are not saved, you are not born again. You can be coming to church and you are not saved. Maybe you'll be here for a year, 2 years. You can be here for 2 years and still not be saved. Remember, this is a very special group of people. People who have given themselves and their lives to God. You are here tonight, you are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. God is calling you. I want to pray with you tonight. I want to say, Bishop, pray with me. I want to give my whole life to God. I want to accept Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to live the Christian life. You are here like that tonight. You want me to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand. Just your right hand. I want to pray with you. Just your right hand.
Just lift up your right hand. You want me to pray with you? You want to give your life to Jesus Christ? God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. You want to give your life to Jesus tonight? Mr. Bishop, please pray with me. Just pray. I want to give my whole heart to God. I want to live this life well. I want to do better. And I want to go to heaven when I die. Your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your right hand, I want to ask you to please come to me. I want to pray with you. Come for my sister there. God bless you, ma'am. Come. I want to pray for you. Come for her. God bless you. Clap. Oh, are you not clapping? Wow. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. All right. Close your eyes with me, everybody. My sister, please close your eyes and pray this prayer after me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and stay in my heart, to be my master and my savior. I believe that by this simple confession, I am born again. My life has changed. I am a brand new creature. Jesus lives in me. I have the Son of God live in me. And my name is in the book of life. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious over every challenge in this life. Thank you, Father, for changing my life and making me stronger than before. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.